Welcome to Chatterbox, the Norwich Talking Newspaper. This is edition number 2070, recorded on Thursday the 18th of July 2019, bringing you news and information from your local Norwich Evening News and the August edition of Let's Talk. I am Tony Stimpson and I'm joined by Sophie Yeomans.
Thank you, Tony. Along with the week's news, we have two features, one on a German soldier's compassion in the Second World War and the other on a pudding and Prosecco festival. We also have letters to the evening news along with information desk. At the end of this recording is the latest edition of Let's Talk, and David Potten is here to tell you more.
Hello, I'm David Potten. And I'm here to tell you that the August 2019 edition of Chatterbox Let's Talk will follow immediately after this week's Chatterbox. You'll be forgiven if you think this is Ladies' Month. We're going to hear about Toya performing in Holt, Amanda Owen the Shepherdess, and Matilda's performances in Norwich. Angie Kennedy will be going to Cromer, and Maggie Gallup will be discovering talking books. We will hear about a new book from two women authors, an amazing Victorian female painter, and about the letters sent to Hilda by Tony Stimpson's grandfather. But the men are also around. Derek James in particular, visiting Muckleborough, remembering Harmer's clothing factory, and reading about Bungay and birds. Meanwhile, Terry Redhead will moan about the bugs, and Neil Haverson will reminisce matchlessly about matchboxes. So do please listen to the August edition of Chatterbox Let's Talk, which follows immediately after this week's Chatterbox.
Thank you, David. Now we begin our news stories, which include the sorry state of the county's roads and building plans at Norwich School are rejected. But first, a music venue, which has hosted the likes of Nirvana and Muse, has been given the green light for a major revamp.
Norwich Arts Centre unveiled its refurbishment plans last year after scooping a pound short of £500,000 of funding from the Arts Council for the project. The beloved venue, which was named the UK's best small venue by the NME in 2014, applied to Norwich City Council earlier this year for permission to carry out its project. The proposal has been awarded planning permission by City Council officers, which will see a raft of changes made to the former church on St Benedict Street. The project will see several improvements made to the venue, mainly geared at making it easier to access, more fit for the future, and an overall more modern site. It includes refurbishment of the venue's toilets, new lighting rigs and sound systems, and a new bar area in the Mission Hall part of the building. Accessibility works will see the addition of push-paid operated doors, improvements to wheelchair access of both concertgoers and performers, and the introduction of hearing loops. The revamp will see the venue out of action from Monday, July 15th until the beginning of September for the first phase of the project, with it also closing between July and September of 2020 for the second phase. Meanwhile, a fundraising campaign to support the scheme is more than a third of the way to its target of raising £40,000 to mark the venue's 40th anniversary.
Norwich Airport has held on to its high ranking as being easily accessible for disabled passengers. The UK Civil Aviation Authority has released its fourth annual report on the disability access of the UK's largest airports. It was rated as very good, the highest ranking. The airport was deemed very good in last year's disability access report. Other airports rated as very good were Aberdeen, Belfast City, City of Derry, Cornwall Newquay, Doncaster Sheffield, Edinburgh, Exeter, Glasgow, Glasgow Prestwick, Humberside, Kirkwall, Southampton and Sunborough.
The countdown to Dippy the Dinosaur's arrival at Norwich Cathedral has begun. In exactly a year, visitors to the cathedral can expect to be confronted by a far more imposing four-legged beast than Budge, its resident cat. Standing at 21 metres high and around 150 million years old, Dippy the Diplodocus will call the cathedral its home from July the 11th to October the 31st, 2020. Dippy, a model made from Diplodocus bone found in Wyoming in 1898, had lived at the Natural History Museum in London since 1905, but is trying out 8 different UK venues for size. The dinosaur is on tour for 3 years and has so far set up residence in Dorset, Birmingham, Ulster, Glasgow and Newcastle. Norwich will be Dippy's final destination. Ploddy, a fellow Diplodocus, has been created by Ali McKenzie and Matt Reeve with the team from Norwich-based Tin House to give Dippy company during his stay. Plans are already underway to offer both educational and entertainment activities around Dippy's visit.
More than £36 million would have to be spent to restore Norfolk's highways to the condition they should be in, say council leaders, who admit money is so tight they are having to manage the deterioration of roads. And road users have criticised the state of the county's potholed roads, questioning whether the use of short-term service dressing fixes, rather than resurfacing, are good value for money. Norfolk County Council is drawing up a new plan for managing the highways. The government has not said what grants council will get beyond 2020 and 2021. The council was successful in getting £3.4 million for road repairs and surfacing after last year's Beast from the East, and a further £12.7 million last autumn, while the Conservative Council also committed to invest an extra £20 million in the county's roads. Martin Wilby, the council's cabinet member for highways, infrastructure and transport, admitted, "There is a big challenge to maintain our transport infrastructure as it is at the moment. In an ideal world, we'd like to know what we will get year by year, but that's not the case at the moment, and we have been successful in applying for grants. Investment in A roads this year will see £1.1 million on resurfacing, £1.9 million on surface treatment, but that will change to £1.35 million on resurfacing and £1.65 million on surface treatment the following year. But on smaller roads, surface treatment is used more often, and road users say that quick fix does not stand the test of time. But Mr. Wilby insisted the council's use of surface dressing was the right thing to do. Highways England, rather than the council, is responsible for the A47 and A11.
A Norfolk charity has been awarded £95,000 to develop a groundbreaking app by the National Lottery. The Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind was given the money to create an app which links individuals with visual impairment with volunteers. Gina Dormer, chief executive of the charity, said, "Many visually impaired people rely on volunteers to help them do the kind of things which sighted people take for granted. The new app will enable visually impaired people to post requests for help, and it will match them with suitable volunteers who are able to assist. Nearly 35,000 people living in Norfolk have some degree of sight loss, and the app will help them achieve everyday tasks such as getting to appointments or shopping. The charity hopes the app, which will be developed by local firm Hyperpixel, will allow more volunteers to step forward. It is expected to go live by the end of 2019.
Norwich has topped a list of vegetarian and vegan-friendly cities. With 1 in 10 people in the UK identifying as either vegetarian or vegan, the food scene in Norwich has adapted to cater for the growing appetite for plant-based eating, with popular restaurants including Namaste, The Tipsy Vegan, Wild Thyme, Morris Falafel Bar and Erpingham House. Now, a new study of UK cities, which looks at the number of restaurants which cater specifically to a vegetarian or vegan diet versus the size of the population, has seen it come out on top. The research, which was carried out by catering equipment retailer Nesbitt's, found there were 2,094 people per vegetarian or vegan restaurant in Norwich, putting it ahead of other top spot contenders, including Edinburgh, Glasgow and Newcastle.
An independent school's bid for a new dining hall has been rejected because councillors were not prepared to see 12 trees cut down to make way for it. The Norwich school had sought permission from Norwich City Council for a new dining room, kitchen block and teaching facilities at its upper close site at Norwich Cathedral. But City Hall's own tree officer, landscape architect and natural areas officer had objected because a dozen trees would have to be felled. One of the trees, a 35-metre London plane, is estimated to be between 150 and 200 years old and protected by a tree preservation order. To mitigate for the loss of the trees, the school was prepared to plant 13 new ones on the site, along with 688 trees and 126 hedging plants, on sites it owns in Horsford and at its Redmayne playing fields off the North Walsham Road. The council's landscape architect, Zoe Tebbutt, had objected, saying, "Given the remoteness of the planting from the city centre and the limited environmental public benefit to the city and the street scene, it is not considered to directly account for the loss of an important tree and group within the city centre." Stephen Griffiths, the Norwich School's headmaster, had told the planning committee the new facilities were a golden opportunity for Norwich, with plans to use the buildings for the community. Planning officers had recommended approval, saying the benefits outweighed the harm. They said attempts had been made by the school to come up with alternatives to chopping down the trees, but constraints on the site made it impossible. But members of the planning committee voted by 6-5 to reject the Norwich School's proposal because of losing the trees was against the council's own policies.
A struggle with a letterbox transformed a Norfolk man's morning into a drama involving a trapped hand and a 999 call. Ricky Scarf, 31, Inset, had left his flat at Elder Green in Galston when he realised he'd locked himself out. "I've locked myself out twice now because of the Yale lock," Mr. Scarf said. The first time it happened, Mr. Scarf used a pole pushed through the letterbox to fiddle open the lock from the inside. This time it was 6:30 in the morning, he said. But when he tried to pull his hand back out, it got stuck. "I was there for about an hour with my hand through the letterbox. I couldn't get it out," he said. "My dog was whining. He thought somebody was breaking in." After an hour, Mr. Scarf ran the fire service. Mr. Scarf said 4 crew members arrived. "I thought they were going to knock the door down," he said. 7 minutes later, his hand had been released.